You can walk my path, you can wear my shoes, learn to talk like me and be an angel too. Ladies, gentlemen, and variations thereupon, this is Modern Escapism. Welcome to the show, a labour of love for procrastination. My name is Oodles, and joining me today, proud father of two and lover of one, the grand old Duke of York and 5'5" pocket rocket, it's Stig.
This slander, absolute slander.
Not even from York.
I know. And I have many lovers.
And raging surrender monkey and Archbishop of Banterbury, he's beginning to look a lot like a rap god. Bow down at his knees and prepare to die. It's Biggie.
Giggity, giggity, goo!
I've got no idea where that came from. Aren't joining us today because one of them is off to a gig or some shit and the other is at in Spain, probably eating chips and egg and reading the Daily Mail.
Do you remember that Candy was away?
Nope.
I'm sure she just goes and then goes, oh yeah, by the way, I'm not on.
She's never in fucking country. It's just us three, no special guests, because we don't need one. I'm back, my voice is back.
Oh, mine is gone though. I am not well.
Go on, why are you not well?
Just full of cold. And I can't hack drinking anymore. That's literally it. I have to stop.
Does it?
I like have a drink. To stop.
I like a drink, but one every now and again, couple on the pod, some at home, maybe one with a meal. But going out, watching the football, throwing the pints down, I realised today I haven't been out since November. So that's the first time since November.
Really?
Yeah.
I go out every week.
And what are you talking about? You've just been to all the gigs around the country.
No, you don't drink at them.
Yeah, but I'm not like there smashing pints down.
Well, you should
smashing
be.
Like several anyway, pints down through within 90 minutes.
Drinking at them gigs, mate, costs more than the gig tickets.
Yeah, exactly. I have one or two at those gigs. That's fine. Also, I had to drive for most of them, so couldn't anywhere.
That's your first session since November.
I just, me, I have felt rotten today. On top of that, I'm full of cold. My body feels run down. But I'm here, despite my voice being fucked. I will power through.
Last week, mate,
for the good
I was talking
people
like,
of modern escapism.
I was talking like that. It had just annoyed everyone. So, yeah. How are you, Biggie?
You did do an intro for us, though, so that was nice of you.
Did I?
Yeah.
I don't recall. How are you, Biggie?
Yeah, I'm all right. I've been busy with the little one. She's been, since they came back from abroad, all's well. She went and did her... like dance production rehearsal yesterday, and then they did the show today, which was nice. There's even a couple of songs from Hamilton thrown in there, mate. Yeah, it was really good. Really enjoyed it. Nice to see her out there. She's only seven, so she still looks a bit lost at times. And there's a little wave to mummy and daddy in the audience, and everyone else is taking it seriously and all that kind of stuff. So, but yeah, that was sweet.
I find them kind of things cringe me. I'm always disappointed at my children for not doing a good dirt. Be better. I'm slapping. Be better.
My biggest issue is with Callie, especially because she's younger, they just stick her in the choir for now. They don't get any acting parts in school plays. Mm. So you go in basically to watch her sit on a chair and sing.
You can't even hear her.
Yeah, and they have to put up with like the rest. I'm like,
I just stop going. Fuck
them. Luckily, now they're starting to get some parts, but.
They won't remember it. I were in plays. I can't remember it.
Yeah, but you go for the support, don't you? They're happy to see you there, even though it is painful to watch at times. Not just your own child, but everybody else's.
It's shit because you can't smoke in a school assembly hall. That's why. I
find them just so... They're throwing all these like dad jokes in there, and you hear people laughing. I'm just like...
Not funny.
I don't know. They're only kids.
You should be stood up going, I do a comedy podcast every week. I'm not having this.
They did have a couple of tracks from the Back to the Future musical, which made me kind of think maybe I'd like to go and see that, actually.
What? There's a Back to the Future musical?
Yeah, it's been around for a year or two now, I think.
Well, that's news to me. And speaking of, it's time for Biggie's breaking news.
You may already know, but he doesn't, because it's time for Biggie's breaking news.
Hit the road, Jack. Don't you come back reading my news no more, no more. Hit the road, Jack. Don't you come back no more.
Hear what I say.
Hit the road, Jack. Don't you come back reading my news no more, no more. Hit the road, Jack. Don't you come back no more.
Amazing.
And also, it also works if you want it to go along with Hit the road, Sanak. And don't you come back, you're in charge no more, no more, no more. Hit the road, Sanak. Don't you come back no more.
We'll allow it this one time. This one time we'll allow it.
You can cut it out, can't you? It's no problem.
We've got to be impartial. We've got to be impartial. Yeah. I mean, if anyone reads into my intro...
Don't worry, I have something to say in the green room.
Let's get some... nothing's happened in Britain, has it, this week? Nothing.
Nope.
Nothing.
Nothing in the
no
news.
No football's been on. No, nothing politically. No, nothing. Just nothing. Yeah.
But PlayStation is returning to the Tokyo Game Show this year after being announced as part of 731 other company strong lists of exhibitors for the event.
Slow news week.
Just a little bit. There will be over 3,000 booths showcasing the latest games and accessories both within Japan and overseas. But I think this is the first sort of expo thing that Sony are attending since they've been doing their own, right?
Yeah.
Which is interesting, I guess.
You know, to be honest.
But I reckon so, but just someone like...
trying to get out there and say...
Someone like Gadget.
We do have games,
Gadget will be
honestly.
Like, no, they've done many more. They've done many more. Not
in fact, the last time Sony did appear at the TGS, they were showcasing Death Stranding demo.
Good game.
Final Fantasy VII Remake, Neo 2, Call of Duty Modern Warfare, and Yakuza Like a good Dragon. So it was a while ago.
All good games.
Yeah, but what have they got now?
Rise
of Ronin.
Astrobot. No.
Yeah, but we've seen Astrobot, maybe. We've seen them, haven't we? There's no...
Do you know what I was thinking, actually, when I saw this news? I know this isn't the same thing. I think I would... I never really watched them, but I think I'd like them to try and get back to doing an E3-style setup. I wasn't that arse, but like watching those showcases this summer and some real big surprises and real like great looking games across the board. I mean, even Astrobot looks great. Xbox had some, Nintendo had some. Just no reaction other than just people typing in the comments that just fly past.
Yeah.
I don't read the comments. Like, but what do you want? Applause.
I know, the applause.
It's like the event.
People getting excited.
Like, it wasn't because it was all in one place as well. So you just had generally over
I never watched it live.
It all happened.
I never watched it live, but I actually
remember that
shite
where they did the PlayStation thing where they kept moving to different rooms and different themes and different music.
Yeah, that was
crap. I don't mean that. Just do what they're doing now, but stick it in front of an audience or invite an audience to go watch it.
Okay,
have an audience
and listen to them whooping.
I think it just adds to it. Like if it's something massive. Yeah, but if it's something massive, unexpected.
Maybe they can do canned whooping, like laughing, you know, those canned whooping tracks.
Yeah.
Do that.
Oh, what about every time
on
these are
pod.
On, we all get together and stream it and we can whoop? You never join in, Stig. You never join in.
I don't like whooping, but I like watching other people whoop.
Come on, everybody, after three, let's do a whoop together, shall we?
I'm one, British.
No,
I don't whoop.
We're not doing a whoop together.
I sit there and clap politely. Bravo, bravo.
Woo! Okay, Final Fantasy creator finished with the series and now sees himself as a player. Hironobu Sakaguchi, the story developer and father of Final Fantasy, now says he has no interest in returning to work on the series he helped make a household name. He also does not want to know how the games the franchise are made now, feeling that it would impact his enjoyment of actually playing future entries.
Wasn't his last game Final Fantasy IX?
He by Bean, but he's just saying he's not going back
fucking,
to it.
It's 20
a
years
hard
ago.
News week, all right?
Okay.
These are things I've found out.
Next.
Hitman 3 VR Reloaded has been revealed. And it's
fucking
been rebuilt.
Hell, this week.
It's been rebuilt
God.
From the ground up. Ooh. And exclusively for the Quest 3.
Fuck me, I can't wait.
Have you all got your Quest 3s ready?
Oh, God, I've got it pre-ordered. Is it even out, Quest 3? I don't even know. Fuck.
I'll tell you what, though. Hitman 3 would probably be a pretty cool game in VR, I would imagine.
I'm pretty sure the normal game's even cooler. It's been out years. It's about £7.
I thought they already had VR Hitman.
Fuck knows, mate.
I'm pretty sure it's already out, innit? Oh, God. Oh, they're just remaking it.
Next.
And who cares by the sounds of it?
Man.
Summer Games Done Quick 2024 has raised 1.9 million, taking its lifetime charitable total to £40 million. Which
well, that's
is
good news.
Fucking cool.
That's great news.
The events that they covered this time it was for Doctors Without Borders, but they've also in the past done Able Gamers, Organisation for Autism Research, Malala Fund, National Women's Law Centre, and Prevent Cancer Foundation.
That's lovely. That's news I like to hear.
Yeah.
That's my idea of a good time.
My idea of a good afternoon.
Well, you're going to love this next breaking one. 2K is working on an unannounced remake.
Whoa! What? Fucking hell!
Can you guess what it is?
I couldn't give a fuck.
I thought they just did sports games now.
So, I don't know. Fucking. What's
according
it called?
According to a motion capture animator who's been working at 2K for the last 2.5 years, apparently on his resume it popped up that they are looking for an unannounced up and coming remake. So I guess, can you have a guess what it might be? Sid Meier's game, perhaps? Spec Ops: The Line? BioShock has already had a remaster. Could it be a remaster of that?
Is that 2K?
Mafia. Why would you remake Mafia in the same decade GTA 6 is coming out? You wouldn't bother doing any type of them, those kind of games. GTA 6 is out.
What about
next
their wrestling
year.
Games?
So is there actually
no name.
Word on what it is?
Nope.
Be a load of shite then that no one cares about, apart from one person listening to this going, 2K are my favourite developer. Leave them. Stop bullying them. Shut up.
2K games.
There's none, mate.
They just do. I just thought they did. But
basketball.
Yeah, they do those sports ones. They're doing their new football as well, aren't they?
Yeah, the new FIFA.
Oh, that's going to be dreadful.
I cannot wait for all
the bugs.
It's going to be so fucking good.
Nothing was ever as good as, was it WWE 2K19, I think, all the bugs on that.
Yeah.
Like, just body
Jesus,
parts just upside down and going through people's heads.
Eyes popping out their skulls.
And, yeah.
Bring back Here Comes the Pain.
Oh, that was a game. Yeah,
it was
that was a game.
Yeah. When Yuke's had it, that was good times. Those were good times.
It was
in wrestling.
Great beat 'em up.
Oh my God, he's gone backstage. He's in the forklift. Oh my God.
F5ing people for Hell in the Cell and they're just getting up like nothing happened.
Because you've been full back. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, God. That's so good. Next.
Fallout London says the end is in sight as testing gets underway.
Fucking
they're
Fallout
literally
London.
About to re-release this mod that got postponed due to the update that Fallout 4 randomly got
out. And they didn't know about
nowhere.
It. They didn't know it turned up, didn't it? The update was like, oh, well. You fucked us.
Yeah.
And
I'm smacking my lips
they're
on this one. So really
the pro modders, aren't they? BioWare. Not BioWare, Bethesda.
Yeah, because the modders fix the game for them.
And they make them content that they charge for.
Whoop, whoop, whoop. We don't need to release this complete. We know the modders will do it for us.
Yeah, exactly.
Candy's shaking listening to this. She's shaking like a shit.
She knows the truth. She knows the truth.
Just works. But yeah.
It's just one of those statements that will forever haunt him.
Yeah.
And the best thing about it, it just works. Launchers, it did not.
It doesn't work. It does not work. But yeah, this Fallout London, sure, cool, brilliant. Can't wait to not play it. Next.
You can tell it's a tough news week. CDPR says Boston-based dev studio will make Cyberpunk 2077 sequel more authentically American.
Oh. Fucking hell.
Which I'm not sure I want. I quite like
set in a fictional world. Who gives a fuck?
Isn't it a fictional world where like Asia and America joined like cultures? Why would it need to be more American? It's pretty fucking American. There's hamburgers everywhere. Fat people.
Yeah. Advertisements and everything.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. And fascism. Sorry, I didn't mean to get political.
More authentically American. That's not what... Who the fuck is looking for that in a cyberpunk game?
Not me. I want more, like, claws on my arms.
That's an odd decision.
I think it is. It's like it's like saying, the next Witcher 4 is going to be more Tudor. It's like, what? No one's asking for a Tudor game.
More Bridgerton.
Yeah. Ain't nobody asking for that. Well done, CD Projekt Red. Remember when you were my favourite?
Yeah. Let's move over to the world of film and TV, shall we?
Please. There must be some news. Hollywood.
Denis Villeneuve's next film gets a 2026 release from Warner Brothers. And it could be Dune Messiah. Oh, but they won't tell us. They won't say.
So, yeah, we don't know what it is, but they've fast-tracked a film for December during Oscar season.
Huh. It's not Rendezvous with Rama, is it?
So he was going to do Rendezvous with Rama or that nuclear bomb film. But Warner Brothers have probably just gone, let's just get this out of the way.
Yeah, your trilogy's complete. The longer you leave it, your own shit.
The longer you leave it, the longer people might not have interest.
Timothy Chalamet might not look like a little boy anymore. The longer you leave it.
He doesn't need to, that's the thing.
Yeah, that's true. He needs to age a bit, doesn't he?
Yeah, he needs to age up, actually. You need to get from a baby in a womb to a Taylor Joy.
You know what? Yeah, that's true. You know what they'll do? They'll shave his hair a little bit and give him stubble. Aged. That's what they'll do.
Yeah.
Aged.
Give him a little porch belly like they did with Ron at the end of Harry Potter.
Oh, God, that's still... That's so amazing.
Stuck on hair and a little prosthetic belly.
Do it.
I'm happy for this. I'm quite happy to just get
a little flick of grey in the hair or something.
Done.
Yeah. Like get it over and done with, innit? And then he can go into his masterpiece.
Then he can take his time with these other films as well. Yeah, he's not feeling like he's rushed because Warner Brothers are saying we want Dune Messiah quickly. So.
Cool. That's good news. Next.
We've had our first look at Anthony Mackie as Captain America in his new outfit for Captain America Brave New World. Yeah, looks great. Pretty swish.
Interesting, though, isn't
it? Yeah, it is. It looks great.
He's gone back to like Steve Rogers' look. Yeah. More than the one he ended up with at the end of...
He's gone full patriotism.
Mm.
And the internet... As always, didn't like it.
I've got to be honest, I don't really like that's his look.
They weren't talking about his look.
Yeah, well, they're
I mean, they were talking about his look, but not his suit.
Well, let's talk about his suit. I just think that it's not meant to be him. He's not meant to be Steve Rogers. He's his own thing. What? That's why he had his own new suit.
Well, if it does anything like some of the books have done, they'll make it so they propelled him to be like the next Captain America and a government agent and like working for America and prop him up. A bit like how they do with Homelander in The Boys, prop him up to be like this great American patriot. And in the books, he starts losing his grip and not enjoying that and gets a bit more grounded and a bit more like...
Well,
because Captain America is a symbol, isn't he? So I guess the suit represents that, not the man as well.
But he was already kind of pushing back.
He was, but what if he's been forced for a little bit of this film and then by the end is there with a darker suit, covered in blood, no helmet on? You know what I mean?
I'll be honest, my appetite for this isn't really up there.
My appetite for Marvel's just not there really anymore.
Yeah.
It's just not.
It's not to do with fatigue. Like, it's just getting it wrong.
I just didn't like. I didn't like Falcon the Winter Soldier.
I think it's one of the worst things I've ever watched.
I don't think Anthony Mackie is not a good lead.
No.
I think he's great as like a second
wingman.
Like
pun intended.
I've never seen him in anything as the lead where I thought, yeah, that's great. I mean, he's very charismatic in real life. I just
can he push a film on his own?
Mm.
Let's see.
Didn't Benefit he do that Twisted Metal? Was he in that one?
Yeah, that nobody watched. On planet.
I haven't seen, have you guys seen that?
No.
No.
Nobody watched it because not a single person on planet asked for it.
But apparently it's okay, that's the thing. Apparently
okay, I'm wasting your time on okay. It. What platform is it on? What streaming service?
Paramount.
Not happening then.
I have other things that I'm behind on TV that I know are better without even having watched them. So that's why.
Absolutely. Fuck that. Fuck Twisted
Metal.
Wow. I Anthony love
Mackie's
the lore.
A touchy
of
subject on this
Metal.
Pod. Is it because
I like
he's black?
No, Biggie, no. God.
What did you say then?
Don't matter. It's going to get beeped out regardless.
Moving on next. Arkham Asylum TV series not moving forward at Max.
Shame.
The planned Arkham Asylum TV series is no longer moving forward, as Variety has learned. It was exclusively reported back in October 2022. Antonio Campos has come aboard to serve as a writer and showrunner of the series, which is originally meant to be set within the world of Matt Reeves, the Batman. According to an individual with knowledge of the situation, that's a really strange way to mention somebody who knows what they're talking about. Campos' version will not proceed. It is still possible, although that a new project set within infamous Gotham City Asylum could be developed in the future, the individual noted.
I don't care.
Same.
I want this. Star Wars and Marvel have shown that too much TV and other projects set out within that
dilutes
world
it.
Outside of the main films starts to get people... They just lose the people caring. The Penguin, I'm interested in that. If it's a limited series, fine.
I'm interested in that because I like Colin Farrell.
Yeah, I just don't want all these like spin-offs. And like we didn't touch on it last week, but that new animated Batman series is coming out and that looks great. Like,
let's not forget, guys. A lot of people forget, seem to block this out of the mind. We had a full couple of seasons of Pennyworth, the Alfred fucking show.
Yeah. Gotham, which is all about
Jim Gordon.
Not have, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's a graphic novel I read. I'm talking about a long time ago, so my memory's a little bit wavy on this. But wasn't there one set in Arkham Asylum? It was like Monster of the Week.
It's called Arkham Asylum.
Yeah, that's what I mean. But it was like the same kind of thing. So I think it would work as a concept for a TV show with Villain of the Week.
But it won't be Monster of the Week. They'll try and weave it into the cinematic narrative and it'll just be a mess.
Possibly. But there's so many good Batman villains that would make good content for a TV show.
Yeah, that Calendar Man.
Okay, but look at Spider-Man films without Spider-Man.
Yeah, shite.
I don't want Batman stuff without Batman.
I like the idea of Batman.
I can see how it would work.
My favourite like ways with Batman is get a new Batman film every 5 or so years. That's it. I'm happy with that. You know what I mean?
Carry this
bit like James Bond.
Bit
like James Bond, because we've done so many Batman films now, you can kind of put it in that same lexicon as James Bond, where you just get one every 5 or so years, and it's just a, here we go, we've got a new Batman. Enjoy this Batman story. Let's clutch on the pearls up one more time. You know what I mean? Let's just, that's how I prefer it. I don't need universes anymore. I just don't. I'm just not. I can't be fucked.
They all contradict each other as well. That's the
fucking
annoying thing.
Yeah, they do.
You're trying to connect it all. Yeah, one thing contradicts what's happened elsewhere.
Get fucking Joel Schumacher back. Fuck it.
No, come on. Come on now. Although, I wouldn't say no to a fun Batman.
Yeah.
Not every Batman has to be dark and brooding.
When he gets his Batman MasterCard out. I got this.
I want Batman running around with a bomb.
above his head.
Yeah. That was amazing.
Holy holes in a donut, Batman. Oh, yeah.
I get the Tech Knight interested.
would. It bloody would. Next.
Netflix's Horizon Zero Dawn TV show is reportedly on ice.
Oh, good. The news comes. Who the fuck asked for that?
Well, it's a bit darker, though, because the news comes as part of a wider story concerning showrunner Steve Blackman, who's been accused of toxic behaviour by several anonymous sources who have worked with him on the show The Umbrella Academy, which I haven't seen yet.
Never heard of it. I'm joking, I have. It's Gerard Way's comic book.
Yeah.
I like that.
Projects that Blackman is attached to, some of them being PlayStation Productions and Netflix Horizon Adaption, have subsequently been shelved. I mean, no one really asked for this TV show. They did that. I mean, it's not like, oh, I really want to see a show based on that game.
I know. It's probably our catchphrase, really. Nobody ever asked for it, and I say it more than anyone, but I don't think anyone ever asked for the sequel to the first game, and it's getting... It's like... I think a lot of things...
Aloy's a shit character. She is. Although I'll say it. She's just not a good character.
It seems like things are
going... The world is cool.
Things are going on numbers rather than, like, love. Do you know what I mean? Mm. Like, at this rate, we're gonna get a Call of Duty show. Why? Because everyone buys it. People must want to watch the show. No, not really. They just want to play the game.
The world is good, but...
Yeah.
Everything I've seen, everything I played for the first time around, and everyone says she's even worse than the second.
I played to completion both of them. Not played that silly VR one, that gimmick one, but I played them, and the fact that the second one goes to places at the end and the story, it put me off. I'm like, oh, you've done... I was just like, oh, no, no. Do you know, while the story, all the beats were, like, all the exposition was coming through, I'm like, oh, no. Oh, and I was like, nah, fuck this. And then I just tapped out because what they're doing. A bit like where we Assassin's Creed, like, I loved the first Assassin's Creed until I realised that it weren't just a medieval. What century is it? Is it 10 AD game? Do you know what I mean? Just a medieval game. But no, Assassin's Creed are more than that, aren't they? There's some kind of fucking weird Matrix nonsense that no one cares about. That's what Horizon goes on to, these weird... No, I'm not trying to spoil anything for you guys, but it's fucking crap. Didn't need it. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, listeners, if you were really pumped for it. God. Next.
Speaking of crap, Emma Roberts says Madame Web would have turned out better if everyone didn't meme about it. She said, if it wasn't...
No, it would not.
If it wasn't for internet culture and everything being made into a joke, I think the reception would have been different. And that's what bums me out about a lot of stuff, even stuff that I've done, is people make such a joke out of everything now.
I mean, let's be real, the critics weren't memeing about it before everyone else saw it, were they?
Nope.
And they still give it right shit scar.
I think she's right in one instance. I think that the internet culture and shitting on things and stuff before it's even had a chance to breathe is 100% a thing. Should have a look at Star Wars and The Acolyte. But the film is... it's terrible. It's absolutely terrible. There's not a single redeeming thing about it.
You watched it, didn't you?
I watched it. It's crap. It is absolute crap. There is no amount of... Nothing to save it. It's crap. Like, people joking about it on the internet, we're joking about it for a reason. Because the dialogue is poor, the plot is poor, the ADR is terrible,
I've seen the ending.
The ending is horrendous. Oh my God, it's just...
Good. I love it. It's my favourite superhero film.
Also, it doesn't help when your lead is on the press tour, clearly not giving a fuck.
She didn't know what she were in.
She didn't know what she was talking about at the time. She was just being sarcastic and taking the piss out of the film.
Do you know
Marvel
what? I've
constantly.
Never liked her. It's her from Fifty Shades of Grey, isn't it?
Yeah, she just did not care. And that doesn't help sell your film.
I don't like her attitude in general.
But your film is crap.
Scathing review there. Next.
Over to the Weird World Web.
Yep.
Okay, that was a short news week.
Because we didn't have Candy to defend all this terrible shit.
Do you want to talk about football?
So positive. Weird World Web.
Well, we can't.
That's not football.
We can't talk. We can't talk about football because by the time this comes out, another game will be played. So we could be setting ourselves up for failure.
What, like the current tactics by Gareth Southgate? Ooh.
Oh, topical.
Okay, over to the weird world web then. Passenger plane forced to make an emergency landing in Sudan after a stowaway cat attacked the pilot. According to Fox News, the Tarco Aviation flight was scheduled to take a little less than 4 hours and arrive safely in Qatar's capital of Doha. It was at cruising altitude after about 30 minutes to an hour after departure. However, the surprised feline passenger appeared in the cockpit and clawed at the terrified pilot. Unfortunately, for the passengers on board, the pilot was forced to make an emergency landing back at Khartoum International Airport after the crew's attempts to wrangle the cat failed. And this is when the cat stepped forward and gave its demands. While it remains unclear to how...
I was just going to make a joke that they're getting desperate with tactics to heart, though.
While it remains unclear just how badly the pilot was injured during this apparent cat fight, there is an explanation for how the animal surreptitiously boarded the plane in the first place. Because no passengers claim the animal, authorities are currently confident the cat infiltrated the plane as it was stationed in Khartoum International Airport hangar the night before takeoff. Presumably, it simply languished there until it was suddenly found itself at cruising altitude with a few hundred unsuspecting passengers in the midst. And naturally, by the time the crew noticed the animal, it had already caused too much trouble and proved too large a distraction for the flight to continue as planned. And according to NDTV, the cat resourcefully evaded all those who tried capturing it.
It's like my cat. Can't get that fucker in. Fucking hell. In. Just get scratched to fuck. Just leave it outside. Shit. That's mad. I remember my pal, it's a true story, it wasn't news as well. He were on a plane where a bird had got in, and they had to wow. land the plane because a bird had got in, like a pigeon. It's wild, isn't it?
I mean, the description they gave, it was almost like the scene from Alien, wasn't it?
Yeah. Jonesy, no!
Can you imagine if it, like, while he's at, like he's fighting with his cat, he just hits the comm button by mistake and all everyone hears is his thing, just like, yeah.
We're all gonna die! love it. Nice dead news week. Genuinely nothing's happened in the world of entertainment, but what have we been doing within media? I'll start. I've watched two brand new limited series this week. The first one's called The Election Campaign 2024. I'm not going to go into spoilers, but I really like the ending. Really, really like the ending.
I thought it was a bit obvious, to be fair.
Yeah. The problem is it was like pitched as a documentary-style thing where real people were getting hurt by the previous government, blah, blah, blah. And then the new government's come in and we're all hopeful at the end of that season. I don't know when the next season... I think the next season's scheduled in 5 years. So it's a long wait.
Might be cancelled.
That we might be cancelled. It were really, really good. And it's a long episode, though. It was one episode. I think it was about 5 hours. Really long. Really tense. The other limited series I watched was... England versus Switzerland. Have you watched that yet? That were really good. Can you tell I've done fuck all this week? England versus Switzerland. It was a good. I mean, the ending were climactic. It was a bit like endings to like things like Ted Lasso, where you just what's going to happen. Turns out the goodies won at the end. The goodies. That were good. Don't want to spoil it for everyone, but yeah, that were good. But who knows? The next episode's on Wednesday, so you won't know how it'll go at that point. But yeah, those are two things. The main thing I want to talk about is something I've already talked about 5 million times, but it's the only other thing I've done this week. It's my final thoughts and review of Elden Ring. I know you guys don't play it and you're not that really asked by it, but the listeners are. Because I went on last week, I finished to completion Elden Ring Shadows of the Erdtree. DLC. DLC is a strong word for it. It should be expansion. But I think it's phenomenal. I don't know if you guys have seen reviews and stuff like that and what the discourse about it, but it's absolutely...
Just like I mentioned incredible before about the difficulty levels I think people were struggling with, but I think like you say, you have to change the way you play. I did listen to last week's pod and... I think they've also said there's a weapon or something out now that can make that part of the game a bit easier for you.
Did there's loads of stuff like that.
A build but or like, weapon or something I saw.
The fucked up thing is, right, I beat it in quite quick succession. I beat it really fast. I beat it, I think, about 25 hours, and everyone's saying, it's impossible. I've finally asked if I admit it, especially with people like Xenos telling me that you're good at it. Yeah, I guess I'm good at the game because I beat it so quick and I didn't really struggle. Like, I'm not going to spoil the last boss or anything like that, but everyone's saying the last boss is the most difficult boss they've ever played. And it took me 8 goes. To me, that doesn't seem...
I saw someone kill it with level 1 today.
Yeah, this is what I mean. If people can do that... I've seen people doing one-hit runs where they're killing every single boss with one hit. The game is so breakable at any level. It just
worked out the pattern. I was watching TikTok, and he was just going. He's like left, right.
Yeah.
Okay, they move, and then this hit here, right. Move back, do that. And like he knew when to just. That's all he had to just work out.
I feel
out.
Like I've got that kind of little weird mentality.
I can't do that.
Yeah, I have because like I beat Erdtree, and then I thought, fuck it, I'm gonna go back and beat the whole game and the DLC and see how quick it takes me to kill every single boss. It took me 21 hours to complete the whole main game, bosses, and doing all the story quests, and the DLC. Bear in mind, it's not as good an accomplishment. I knew everything that were coming up. I could prepare for everything, obviously. I know the game back to front. But I still did it in 21 hours, and that's nowhere near a record. I bet people are doing it in fucking 2 hours. But it's doable, and I want people listening to this are batting their heads against it. I did it. I didn't summon because I don't have PS Plus. I did it alone. You can do it. It's like Biggie, your prime example. You couldn't do Ornstein and Smough in Dark Souls. You just couldn't do it. What happened? Why did you beat it the last time you beat it? Because you'd learned, hadn't you?
I guess I had, and it was.
You didn't realise you had.
Yeah, it was literally like that moment where it was like, this is my last turn tonight, and then I'm been in it. I might even have walked away. Well, technically, I did, but I did I did complete it, but it was just felt like
you completed
I don't beat
that
it tonight,
game's biggest obstacle.
I'm done.
There's no other boss in Dark Souls 1 that's harder than those
but
two.
The thing is, right, and I mean this with all the respect to all the people that play it, but for me, when I'm at work and I do my job and I come home and I want to relax, I don't find playing those games particularly relaxing. I find them stressing me out. And I see the fun in it, which I do understand. So I mentioned that on the pod before. And when I streamed, I had some fun with the people watching, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But to have the patience to, like Stig says, to learn everything and look for the tells. And it's like half the time I'm getting hit to shit and I can't work out the tells because I'm stressing because I'm dying. And I've got a long run to get back to where I was before. And that's referring to Dark Souls. I know the new one has checkpoints. But it's that, to me, is like too much busy work to get that enjoyment out. And that's why I probably haven't gone back.
Do you see the main reason why people like me, some people call sadists, play these games for fun and to like relax, is because our first playthroughs aren't fun and relaxed.
Yeah, I get
it. It's the seconds, the thirds, the fourths, where we feel like Neo in the Matrix. Where nothing can touch us. I can, hand on heart, say that, for instance, someone like me and Gadget can go through Bloodborne now without thinking about it, knowing exactly what's around every corner, and that's the fun when it comes. For some reason, though, Elden Ring clicked with me quite instantly on my first run ever, before any DLC. And I was like, this is so breakable, because it's so open, it's so breakable. Why bat your head against a boss when you can go fight a different one? Get what I mean? It's so open, but then again, people don't like that it's so open because I'm getting lost. There's no fucking story. You can't get lost in a game that's got no story. I mean, some people like to say it's got a story. It's fucking bollocks.
You just go to one place, you get battered, and you go, can't do that.
Yeah.
I'll go back there later.
Yeah, and when you come back, you're stronger, aren't you?
Yeah, where's the area with, is it like, it's almost volcano-y with like big black crow style birds.
Yeah. And
there's a massive dragon in the middle.
Yeah.
So if you look at the screen, it's over on your right hand side, left.
Caelid,
that's it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, there's a fuck off massive dragon in the middle of it, and I was like, can't do this.
Yeah.
Can't get even close to it. Went back, smashed it.
Yeah. And that's exactly what you do with this game in general. But people seem to like. I don't know. I get it and I don't get it, but I don't think it's At first, I was like, yeah, the game could have an easy mode, but I don't think you get the same enjoyment. If it did have an easy mode, you wouldn't get the same enjoyment. You wouldn't.
It's weird. I've been playing Baldur's Gate 3, obviously, still am. And I was.
And you wouldn't play that in easy mode, would you?
No, and I've enjoyed it for what it has. And it's definitely had its difficulty spikes, depending on the situation you learn, and like you say, to a point.
Do you get pleasure out of failing? I do.
I know you don't stick.
That's why they ask you. I learn from failure.
There's this one mission.
Yeah, I like learning new ways to do something if I have failed. But I'm like, it actually depends. If it's a quick failure, and I go, okay, that doesn't work. But if it's one that you spent ages trying and then you die, like,
and you're 7 hours behind, that's a different story.
Yeah.
No, I mean, just like you try it one way and you think this works, you're fighting for like 20 minutes or. You know, it's a massive fight and you're still dying. Like,
yeah, I don't like wasting my time. Like, luckily we Elden Ring bosses aren't 20 minutes. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. That's why I just quick save.
In the Steel Watch Foundry.
Steel Watch, it's difficult.
There's a particular area in there where you get overwhelmed by lots of people because of what's happening in that particular scene.
Is it the timed bit?
No, it's not. It's the underwater thing.
That's underwater.
Which I have done.
That annoyed me.
But you see, I worked that out.
That took me ages because I had to figure out different ways. Yeah.
I just realised I don't want to get into it too much. But when I did the Still Watch mission, I died a couple of times because I was getting overwhelmed. I was losing all my characters really quick. This is hard. And then I just found an area where they couldn't reach me. So I still had all my players doing what I needed to do, but I had this one character just stay up on this ledge and they couldn't reach me. They could hit me once in a while, but it was basically my toughest character was up there, and I very dirtily just took people out from a distance.
There's nothing wrong with that because it's in the game.
But it just felt like I'd kind of cheated, and I did feel it's so weird to say. I felt a little bit guilty that I just cheesed that fight, to be honest, because it wasn't the most. Yeah, it wasn't the most fair on the computer.
In real life, right? If you were in a square up with somebody, you wouldn't do an honourable fight, would you? You'd kick him in dick. I'm telling you, if your fist didn't work, you kick him in dick. I get that. Like I told Gadget used to stream Sekiro, didn't he? And that's a game that I found extremely simple to play. Once you learned it, the game's got fucking shit AI. I was saying you can just do this to this character, you can cheese it, and he's like, "No, I don't want you to." I'm like, "Why not? They haven't patched it out."
I saw Oodles hanging off a ledge, just. Hitting a boss.
Kill the boss just hanging off a ledge.
He was hanging off a ledge, just hitting his sword out, going, "They can't hit me here, but I'm killed it."
Who the fuck gives a fuck about honour?
It's in the game.
It's in the game.
It's in the game.
Never been patched. And he's a ninja. Ninjas aren't honourable. Back to Elden Ring. I think it's if you are struggling with it, guys, I mean, by all means, use what the game's got. I'll give you a little tip. Get the shadow. Skadoo things that level you up, whatever they're called, get them because it makes you fucking a tank. And you don't have to kill any bosses to pick them up. You can just run around the world and get stronger. It's a fantastic game. It's beautiful. It's got some of my favourite bosses that even challenged me.
Is it your game of the year, or have you already got a contender?
No, it's nowhere near my game of the year because something else is my game of the year that I'll wait until.
Bellatro.
Don't spoil it.
I think everyone knew it, but I just wondered if DLC had pushed it back up.
No. I think main game Elden Ring's better than the DLC. And a lot of people say, no, it's not. It is. It's way better. But it's fantastic. But that's me. I've done fuck all different. The world of politics and the world of football's took over my life. I have started watching House of the Dragon. Whole lot of nothing happens on those first two episodes, doesn't it? Good though.
Well, apart from the end of the first episode.
I like the nothing episodes, though. I like the talking episodes and the nothingness. I just like seeing these people. But that's starting off good, and the boys is continuing, blah, blah, blah. What have you been up to, Stig? Apart from getting pissed.
Few things this week, actually. I completed my Pop Girl summer tour.
Yeah.
Yeah, so in May, we went to see Olivia Rodrigo. June, we went to see Taylor Swift. And July, we went to go see Avril Lavigne. So Avril Lavigne in Manchester on Wednesday. She was great. I've always been a massive fan since, like, literally the first album. I've never seen her live.
She's a one-hit wonder, isn't she?
No, she's
fucking... Avril Lavigne? Yeah. She's got loads of songs.
And don't know this.
He was a punk.
Complicated. I'm with you.
He was a ballet man or whatever. That one.
No, don't know.
I don't know either.
But yeah, no, she was great. It was there was she was supported by A Simple Plan, who were really good.
I don't know what they are. A
lot of energy. They sing that song that goes, "I'm just a kid and life is a nightmare." You'll have heard it at some point. It'll have been in some mid-2000 film.
Probably, mate.
Yeah. But no, they were really good. Nice big ball of energy. And she does a song with them in the show as well that she'd done.
He was a boy. She was a girl.
Yeah. But what it got me thinking was I saw her set from Glastonbury. 70,000 people went to see her at Glastonbury.
She was at Glastonbury.
On the second stage.
Badass.
Yeah. But they put her on the second stage in the middle of the day and she drew 70,000 people.
So she should have been higher.
She drew more people, I think, than the main stage that
I know.
Day.
I've not watched SZA. What the fuck's that?
That's the thing. So apparently, so SZA's, I don't know her music.
Oh, is it her?
Yeah. S-Z-Z.
Like RZA. S-Z-A. I think we've gone through this because we thought you were RZA's daughter.
Yeah, and she's quite big with young people. She's quite big in the States, not really massive in the UK. I think they kind of bodged the
line
booking
up.
Here
yeah, the booking.
Because Glastonbury is a very middle-aged millennial white.
Avril Lavigne's going to slap at Glastonbury.
Avril Lavigne drew, say, 70,000
people.
You've
got people. To remember,
people
go to see Coldplay.
She should have headlined.
People actually
go. Yeah, because they're putting a good show, though, don't they?
That's why.
Yeah, but wasn't Dua Lipa headlining Glastonbury this year, though?
Was she?
Yeah, Dua Lipa's great.
She could.
Yeah,
have
no,
been,
but
she,
I wouldn't say white middle-aged men
stick?
Would have been gone to see her, though, if you know what I mean, apart from seeing her.
No, but a lot of white middle-aged women will.
And
I'd go see Dua Lipa.
I fucking would.
She's great. But I know that Glastonbury is like, it has kind of diversed a lot more, which is completely
it's cool,
fine. I just don't think that she didn't draw a massive crowd, whereas Avril did, and I was just surprised.
Not all SZA.
That she put her in. They put her on in the middle of the day on the second stage. But I went to see her at a venue in Manchester called Castlefield Bowl. It's only 8,000 people. It's the weirdest venue you'll ever see.
Mm.
It is just, it's the stage on the side of the canal. There's a train line that goes overhead, so you can see the trains
can
that go past, can see right down into it. Yet I've seen clips of people on the outside looking at the back of the stage. They can't see Avril, but they can hear it perfectly. There's flats on the side of it that people just sat on the balcony looking down and watching.
Imagine if you didn't want to that night. You had an edit.
Yeah, but it's like a weird courtyard. It's just like this weird courtyard they've made into a music venue. It's quite cool, really, like quite niche.
Yeah.
What pissed me off, though, and this is another thing about Glastonbury, was I saw videos of her at Glastonbury and people on shoulders and flags.
Yeah.
I was behind someone who, two people close in front of us, kept getting on their partner's shoulders.
Yeah.
Couldn't fucking see. And there was a woman next to me who was like up to my buddy shoulder.
God, she must have been smart.
And she was, yeah, she was. And she was fuming. She kept screaming at him, get down. And I just thought,
you know what to do, don't you? Drag her down and start a pit.
People started literally throwing bottles at
her. Yeah, get down.
She turned round. Avril came on. This girl turned round and everyone went, get down. And she just kind of shrugged and stayed up there. And then she started getting, someone threw like a plastic wine bottle at her.
I had a bottle. And she got, I'd have thrown a full fucking Stella at her. Fucking catch that.
But it was like, two people annoyed me. And I just thought, I couldn't be doing with Glastonbury.
So I've been to Glastonbury and I went, the Jay-Z one. Remember Jay-Z?
Yeah.
That was like the first diversified one. And
well, that's a headliner. That's worthy of a headliner.
It was amazing, but I couldn't see him. I was nowhere near front. I couldn't see him. I was nowhere near seeing a screen anywhere. And the pyramid stage is a lot smaller than you think. Not as big as it looks like on telly.
And there's just flags and people on shoulders everywhere.
It was that busy in that ramp.
I don't want to be the fun police, but fucking hell.
This is disgusting, but it was that busy in that ramp. I had a piss and nobody noticed. Yeah. It's just, you can't see anything. I do recommend Glastonbury. It's brilliant. Not just for the music, just for the village.
I would like to go, but it was just...
It's good, that, it's good for kids,
a small mate. That a small venue annoyed me. I just thought, if I was at a... There, yeah. And all those flags and people. Just...
There's a lot my of places in Glastonbury where you can watch it from top, where you can see it from top of the hill and stuff like that, where you're not close, anywhere near close, but you can still hear it.
Yeah, my best mate went about 10 years ago, and he says... The best thing about Glastonbury is the stuff that you don't see on TV. It's all the other stuff behind
the village
that goes
when you're going
on.
Around. Yeah. And yeah.
It's like massive. Secret, it's about the size of my bloody town.
Yeah, secret forest parties and stuff. And I went on a mushroom walk where we all had magic mushrooms and fell over. It was great.
I saw videos of people like, we're just getting up to go get our breakfast, and you can see people coming back from the rave to finish at like 7 in the morning.
I went to our all-night raves and stuff. It was brilliant. It was fantastic, but it's probably different now. When were Jay-Z? Well, that must have been about 10 years ago, that.
Yeah, probably the same.
Like that, yeah.
Yeah, I was a younger man then. A younger man.
Yeah, but I really enjoyed Avril.
Good.
She's great.
I know her. Great. Do you know what I mean? That's an artist that I think it transcends, like, I'm a death metal fan, and I like, you know what I mean? I like hardcore music and stuff, but Avril Lavigne's still in my, like, lexicon, do you know what I mean? She's still, I know her. I know her songs. I fancied her when I was younger. Right bad.
Mm.
She's
nearly 40 now.
She's still cracking
great.
Looking.
Yeah, she doesn't look it.
Yeah.
She just looks like she hasn't aged at all.
Good on her. Good on her. I had a right crush on her. But that's bad. It's nice to see people that you loved growing up. Because you never, you never know.
She went through a bit of a hard time because she got Lyme disease.
Oh, shit. That's a fucker, that one. With it. That's a fucker.
What's that? Remind me, what's that one?
It's when you get bit by a tick and it fucking fucks your mental health up and it fucks your body up and
it can fuck your nerves up.
Fuck your nerves and gives you constant fatigue. It's a right nasty one. Ooh. Americans get it a lot because they go out in woods with ticks. You get it with tick bites. It's horrible. Horrible. Nasty. Anything else you done?
So I went to go see A Quiet Place Day One.
Cool. I saw some really raving reviews on this.
Yeah, I've heard this is good.
So this is by director Michael Sanosky. He did Pig. If you remember, I talked about that from a couple of years ago Nicolas Cage going
Pig's
looking
good.
For his pig.
Pigs are good.
Yeah, and he brings that kind of sensibility to this film. It's A Quiet Place Day One. So
it's not John Krasinski anymore?
No, he's just producer of it.
Okay.
So this tells, obviously, the story of when the aliens landed on Earth in New York, and it follows Samira, played by Lupita Nyong'o, and Eric, played by Joseph Quinn.
That's a good cast.
And she is, I think she's a cancer sufferer.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember if it actually gets into what disease she has.
Yeah.
And she's out with her nursing group one day.
And then it happens.
To this show, and it happens,
and
obviously she ends up being kind of left on her own. She just thinks, I want to go get pizza. I came into the New York because I want to get,
and she knows she's
New York pizza.
Ill.
The bridges have been destroyed. She's just like, I just want to go get pizza. And during this time, she obviously bumps into Joseph Quinn's character, and they kind of travel across New York to try and find this pizza
very quietly.
Remembers from her youth. And it's completely 100% a character piece. This is not an alien invasion film, really. You're not going to be, you do see a few things and hear a few things in the background regarding, like, you know, the military, but it very much just centers on these two characters.
I think
characters.
The first one and the sequel were a bit like, it was a family piece, wasn't it? It was about that family.
I mean,
I know before Stig goes on, I mean, I completely agree with the. You could pull the plot apart from the first movies without a doubt, but if you just let that go, they're enjoyable movies for what they are. It is ridiculous about the sound and what it actually represents wouldn't possibly happen. Mm-hmm. But I actually
That's
don't mind
that.
That's
my biggest problem with the series as a whole, because
sleeping
Krasinski, he set it up. The aliens are too powerful. They only ever react to human noises.
Yeah.
Don't ever seem to react to them. Like, the aliens are making a fuck ton of noises. So why aren't there being other aliens being drawn to them?
But they do react to that space shuttle, not that kid had. And the first one.
They react to everything that humans do. I was literally came out the cinema that day and it was windy as fuck. And I was stood there and said to Kate, I went,
listen to how loud it is.
This is how loud it is. The wind, the trees, life, the bushes, the birds.
Yeah.
Like, you'd think that the aliens would just be going absolutely crazy, running amok, like just bouncing off stuff.
What's that? But what's that? Don't. What the fuck's that? What's that?
With exactly. But the only ever reacts are humans. Well.
You never see what animals are doing.
Yeah.
They're loud. Cows in fields.
Said that. Yeah. Funnily enough, having said that, her character has a support cat.
Oh, God. And it goes, meow.
No, a cat is fucking brilliant. Best cat you'll ever see. It's a shame Candy's not here because, like, she'd absolutely love it. It's the best cat in cinema. Like, it's such a good cat. It kind of steals the show at times.
I hope cat gets an Oscar.
It's a very well-trained cat, I'll put it this way. but I thought, yeah, them two were really good in the lead role. So, because there isn't a lot of dialogue in this film, a lot of it is told through expression and
pantomime, innit?
And their body language, and both of them have such great expressive faces.
Yeah.
There's one moment where someone gets killed in front of her. A face, the acting in the face is just incredible.
She's fantastic anyway.
Yeah.
What was she from? So, don't remind me.
She was in Us. She's Black Panther.
She's in Us. Yes, that's it.
She's fucking brilliant. Slave. She's fucking so brilliant. Everything she touches, she's best thing in it.
It's enjoyable. I liked it.
Good.
Wasn't blown away by it.
I can definitely watch that at home and not feel like I've missed some, can I?
Yeah, it carries on the same kind of thing that Quiet Place Part 1 and Part 2 do.
I think the first one's characters. Fantastic. When you like close your brain to it. But the second one dropped off a little bit because, like, all right, she's become Ellen Ripley, has she? I get it. I've seen this before. But I like the series. I think the series should continue. If you said this one's good as well.
I think it is because there's Quiet Place Part 3 is due, I think.
With Krasinski's wife. What's her name?
And kids, yeah.
Emily Blunt.
Yeah. Emily Blunt,
yeah. But there are characters in this that are linked to the second one as well.
Oh, cool. So. Cool. Yeah. I'll check this out.
One more thing. Might as well fill up the space.
Fill it up.
Beverly Hills Cop, Axel F.
Oh, okay. I also watched this. So
this launched on Netflix this week.
I forgot I watched it.
Straight to Netflix. It's as good as I think we could have expected, if I'm being honest. When it came about, I think we all kind of collectively groaned. A lot of these legacy sequels.
Did we need it?
Turn out crap. Did we need it?
Did anyone ask for it?
But I think it's really enjoyable. I laughed out loud several times, even in the opening, like kind of 5-10 minutes. There was some cracking jokes. I think Eddie Murphy brings that energy he has in 1 and 2. Joseph Gordon-Levitt's decent addition. So this takes Axel back to.
What about Kevin Bacon?
I mean, Kevin Bacon. Not to spoil anything, but it's and Kevin Bacon. You can like. Okay, we know the bad guy is straight away. It's pretty much there.
As soon as I saw him sat down in that chief's office, I went, oh, the bad guy.
Yeah. It's obvious as all the other films in the Beverly Hills Cop series.
Yeah.
So he goes back to Beverly Hills Cop. He's got a daughter there now who is turning. She's been kind of helped. She's a criminal. She kind of helps run the
community. She's a defendant.
Defendant, yeah. And she kind of gets caught up in this kind of corrupt cop stuff and she gets targeted. Yeah. So he goes out there to try and help her and try and solve this case. Judge Reinhold's Billy Rosewood's been kidnapped. Yeah, so they're trying to figure out what's going on. But yeah, I enjoyed it. I was worried when I saw the trailer for it and saw some of the set pieces in the trailer that it was going to do that thing where everything has to be bigger and louder, like, you know, Die Hard 4 does.
Yeah.
He's now fighting at a fucking fighter jet.
None
of that. There's that helicopter scene. There's the chase at the beginning. All kind of as grounded as the first Beverly Hills Cop action scenes.
Mm-hmm.
It's so... Andy takes the piss out. There's a great joke about him taking the piss out of Beverly Hills Cop 3 in there.
Yeah, the talk about his record and say something like... Oh, and we don't like to talk about this scenario.
It's like 1994. It's like you came here in 1984, 1987, I think.
1994.
1994 wasn't your finest hour. And then it's just... Yeah, and there is a lot of like getting the band back together with character Surge is there again.
Surge is back.
Jeffrey's there and Taggart's back. So all the original kind of people are there, but it's fun. Do you know there's a great visual gag as well that as he's got, you know, in the first one where he's driving through LA and he's just seen this completely different cultural world to Detroit.
Yeah.
And that happens again. It does. One of the billboards is advertising, it's like a Christian billboard about the evils of STIs.
Yeah.
If you go on the website that's actually on that billboard, they've inserted a joke on that. It's an actual website that you can go on. So if you watch it, get the.
Stig's that kind of guy. He clicks on the.
I didn't do it. I came on a forum.
What would you give it out of 5 then, mate?
Oh, wow. I give it 3 out of 5. I enjoyed it. I think it's up there with the second one. Better than the third.
I'll give you my.
And it's about as good as I thought it would be.
Yeah, I'll give you my little opinion on it. I think it's the second best one. I think the first one's the best one.
First one's definitely the best.
It's a good. I was scared, and as we said this other week, I was scared that we were going to lose some of that 80s magic, that vibe. It's not lost.
It's not lost. It's not the music.
Yeah.
They're using all the kind of sentimentality kind of musical cues.
And it's cuts. Its cinematography is very much rooted in the late 80s, early 90s. There's no crazy bullet time action. There's no swoops and Dutch angles. You know what I mean? It's the camera's always focused on Axel when he's walking about. There's no weird, you know, like modern day tropes to cinematography. Because I'm into cinematography, as we all know.
I was worried that it would go like full on Michael Bay.
Yeah, me too, like, mate. Me too.
Drone shots and flying
but it
around.
It was boots on the ground, just a nice, happy little romp. I liked it.
I think they should put this in cinemas for a bit, to be honest.
I think they should have done.
Yeah.
I liked it. I liked it.
If this does well enough, the problem is, are they going to start looking at every fucking 80s movie?
No, because there's so many duds. There's so many duds.
Yeah, like Coming to America too. That was terrible.
It was fucking shite.
And that's the worry I had about this film after that film.
I agree. I wasn't expecting a lot for. I haven't watched it, but...
I just liked how excitement was pretty timid. We saw a lot more of Axel like in Detroit doing his Detroit stuff at the beginning, didn't we? He went to the basketball game?
Hockey.
And he's like, what do you think a black man can't like hockey? He's going on about that, and it's really fucking like classic Eddie Murphy, fast talking, fast pace. His age wasn't bothering me. Yeah, they made a few jokes on it. He looks great. He does look great.
Compare him to Judge Reinhold.
Judge Reinhold looks like he's melting.
Yeah, they both look like they're like... And Paul Reisner. Paul Reisner and Eddie Murphy are the same age. And one looks about 20 years older.
There's even the joke where we go, hey, miss, how old do you think he looks? We're the same age!
Yeah.
It's so good. I liked it. The last two Eddie Murphy films I've seen now have been good. So, is he
and
back?
The other thing I liked is there was a bit of progression with his character as well. You know how in the first one he relies on his fast talking, his quick thinking, and to be able to kind of trick people into getting free rooms and access to places?
Yeah.
He tries that on like in a modern time.
Don't work.
And they're just like, doesn't work,
yeah,
and it plays on that it's this. Is
I like when he goes
anymore.
To that guy that is like he sees that he used to be an actor, and then his daughter goes, "So tell me about that film that you love him in." And he's like, "You know, it just doesn't work, does it?"
No, he can't talk his way out of it now because the internet is there's too much information out there these days.
I reckon I'm with Stig. It's a 3 out of 5. To it. Get watching it. It's on Netflix. It's free. Fucking get it watched.
Do you know what? I don't even remember much about the first one, if I'm honest. I'd have to watch
first
the first
phenomenal.
One.
First one's phenomenal.
It really
they're all
it.
On Netflix, I think.
Yeah, they're all on. Yeah, first one is fucking brilliant. And it's a hard fucking 18, that first one.
Oh, yeah, that's one more thing on it. Doesn't shy away from the violence or the language.
No, it
was happy about it. Yeah. It kept its core roots.
Yeah.
And it didn't try and make it
more
family friendly.
It wasn't 12A.
Yeah, it's full on Beverly Hills Cop.
I'm with Stig. Absolute recommend that one. I just forgot I'd watched it, but yeah. Do you know what? I actually started watching it and I had Balatro on me Mac. And I thought, I'll just add Balatro on my...
That's your problem.
No,
stop.
No, listen.
Just sit and watch the fucking film.
As soon as the dialogue kicked in, I went, oh, and I just closed my Mac and I just carried on watching the whole film. I was like, oh, it's got me. So I didn't think it'd have that vibe. It wasn't even that. I still think a ding, ding, Crazy Frog. Do you know what I mean? Yeah.
Is it the same theme or have they updated it?
No, it's the same.
Oh, okay.
A lot of the music's the same. It has some licensed tracks as well that are the same. It's good. It's good. It's a good. It's not going to blow your socks off. It's just good.
No.
Definitely. I think you'd give it a 4 out of 5, Biggie, because that's your era, isn't it? You were what, like 30-year-old when that came out? The original one? But yeah, that's, I liked Axel F as well, Stig. Good. Thanks for reminding me that I watched something completely brand new. Love that. Love that for me. Anything else, mate?
No.
Hello. Biggie.
So, I watched Beef.
Beef?
And I don't think anyone else has covered this.
It's been on my watch list for so long because apparently it's absolutely brilliant.
Is this that drama?
Yeah. It's fucking great.
Is it the Asian family one?
I've heard it's good.
It's really... Well, it is. It's basically an American comedy drama. It's created by a Korean-American director, Lee Sung-jin, for Netflix. And it stars Steven Yeun and Ali Wong as Danny Cho and Amy Lau, respectively.
Basically, Yeun, he's on a right resurgence. He's on Invincible as well, isn't he?
Yes. They basically play two strangers whose involvement in a road rage incident escalates into a prolonged feud. It's only 10 episodes long, but what a 10 episodes. You know how Homelander is in The Boys, where you know he's a baddie, but you can't help but like him.
Oh, you like watching his character. You don't like
him. Yes. You know what I mean.
Yeah.
It's the same. It's a testament to the performance of these two because they are.
It's like
not
how everyone loves Darth Vader, even though he's
people. Dying. Yeah, they are not good people. It basically starts with Danny, Stephen Yeun's character, is having a really shit day, and he's trying to return. I think it's a barbecue set to a store that sort of asks no questions.
Called Beef.
No,
they have beef with each other.
Oh yeah, beef.
So he turns up at the store. He's waiting in the line for ages because somebody at the front's telling their life story to the guy on the counter. You can see his blood boiling. By the time he gets to the counter, he can't return the item. He gets back into the car. He's absolutely fuming. He goes to reverse out of his spot, and Ali Wong's character comes by. They nearly hit each other. They have a little bit of banter. She drives off, pauses, and sticks her middle finger up out the window, and that sets him right off. And they have this mad dash chase through the sort of urban area of where they all live. And that is pretty much covering the first episode, bar a great result to the end of the episode. But the feud just escalates. They are so petty. And they try to outdo each other throughout this series, and all their families get involved. But it's really touching. It touches a lot on being an Asian American, about the family burdens, because I think both their family come from their original countries, like Korea, and I think she is Thai, if I'm right, in this movie.
Thailand.
Sorry, in the series. So there's all that kind of burdens and responsibility that they feel. They've got siblings or husband and daughter that creating issues in their lives. He is sort of bouncing between jobs. He's a bit of a do nothing, but his brother is even worse. She is more a successful businesswoman, but her husband's a house husband. So there's all these little intricate things that are going on. They all get pulled into this feud, whether they like it or not. But the writing is brutal. It's really, really dark comedy, and it is funny as fuck, as well as being quite touching in places. But yeah, the acting is spot on. There's loads of backups. You've got Maria Bello in this. Andrew Santino's in this. He's got a nice little spot.
Yeah.
The guy that plays his brother, I've forgotten his name now. I'll find it. Mazzino. He's really
been
good.
On my Netflix to watch list for a while.
Yeah, mine. Yeah, it's mine too.
I think it's going to be really great. Good. It's going to be a me and the wife watch that, because me and her, I've got beef with her.
It received 8 wins at the Emmys.
It also
got nominated at the Golden Globe Awards. It's possible there'll be a sequel or another season, maybe with different characters. We don't know yet.
No, there is. It's confirmed with Oscar Isaac and Carey Mulligan.
Ooh. Oh,
cool. Cool.
Ooh.
And they could continue with these people or go with different people. So who knows what they might do. But yeah, it's really, really good. And I can't believe I left it for so long. It came out in 23.
Yeah, yeah, same. I'm gonna jump on that after House of the Dragon.
It was one of those ones where I literally like I wanted to watch it with Kate.
Yeah, I want to watch it with my wife. Her name is Maddie. Never named her, I don't think, on this podcast.
But yeah, it's really funny. It's just got some really great moments and some batshit crazy ones as well. And yeah, and the supporting cast are really good in this. Really, really good.
Really I do like a good, like, dark black comedy drama type, people shouting at each other in the middle of the street type show. I'd like that. I'm into it.
Oh, and do you know what? I think the episodes, could be wrong, they're like 30, 40 minutes or something. They're not
even
particularly long.
Fucking better, mate. Even better.
It kind of just runs past, if I remember right. Yeah, really good.
Awesome.
The Anything other thing, else? Weirdly Asian related as well, was that I watched, and I don't think I mentioned this a while back, but I didn't get around to it. Did I mention Giri Haji? Did I talk about that?
I don't know. Did you sneeze just then?
Which is a British crime drama series. So basically, Giri Haji is translated in Japanese as Duty and Shame. Mm-hmm. And it came out on BBC Two in 2019 and is now currently shown on Netflix. It was created and written by Joe Barton and features an international ensemble cast including Takehiro Hira, ooh, Kelly MacDonald, Yosuke Kobazuka, Will Sharp, Masahiro Motoki, Justin Long, Anna Sawai, and Charlie Creed Miles. And basically the series is set in two places, London and Tokyo, and the dialogue also is in English and Japanese. And it's basically like a crime drama, really, but it tries to do things a little bit different. It gets a bit artsy at times with the cinematography.
How do you find these ones like this? What do you just have a little scroll?
Yeah, no, it's on Netflix. It comes up. No, and I think that looks cool.
Is your algorithm because it's what you're into, isn't it?
Quite possibly, yeah. I added it to my watch list ages ago. And then I just thought,
it's not new.
No. It's been there for ages. Yeah, it's just really good fun. Really brutal at times.
I like that as well.
Really good plot. Kenny McDonald's really good in it as well. It's got that sort of police thriller stroke family duty honour kind of stuff going on.
I do enjoy when they put BBC shows on Netflix because I can watch it guilt-free.
Yeah. So, and I really, really liked it. It kind of wraps things up really rapidly at the end in some way, and it features in the last episode. I'll spoil it because it doesn't ruin what's actually mentioned, but they do a scene in the last episode as interpretive dance.
Fair enough.
Which blew my mind because I appreciate there was some strokes of anime in there. There's some really clever stuff with fonts and text in the background. It's, you know, creating, I don't know, like it's moving away from his brother and it says the word goodbye, but in the writing of the paint that you'd see on a road, the text and some weird stuff like that. It just tries to do a lot of little different, clever little things. Cool. But just the cast acts really well throughout this story.
It's called Giri Haji,
which is just, yeah, translated as Duty, Shame.
Duty, yeah.
Just a police thriller. It's quite funny in places. It's quite dark. Wraps itself up fairly neatly. Just a few weird plot points, I have to say, if I'm honest. But yeah, it's just something different, and I quite enjoyed it. I like the fact that there's a lot of dialogue back and forth between London and Tokyo, and also in London and in Tokyo. And it talks, especially Will Sharp's character, who is half British, half Asian, and about the difficulties of growing up with that as well.
Yeah, man. That's cool.
But yeah, really cool. Really enjoyed those.
Good little week.
Pretty much. Oh, last thing I wanted to mention, because Stig got me to do this. I ended up watching The Lord of the Rings Extended Trilogy.
You've never watched them before?
No, I have. But in 4K.
Yeah?
Be careful what you wish for.
You mean this one?
Yeah. I've got it in 4K.
That's Blu-ray, that.
Oh, is that just Blu-ray?
Blu-ray. Yeah.
Oh yeah, it's got Blu-ray on top of it. Closing fucking name.
It's kind of almost dropping to a 9.5 for me now, considering it's one of my favourite movies of all time series.
Why?
It's just because in 4K, it's starting to look dated. The CGI.
You can't hold that
really,
against it, mate.
It's hard because it. Some of the scenes that you remember, like you say, like if you think back to when you first saw it or when you saw it even in Blu-ray, it doesn't stand out as much. But when you watch it in pure 4K, some of the scenes, it's clear you've got really big green screen stuff going on. And it just pulls you out just for a moment. And it's just kind of like, oh, man. And then you get the great scenes again that pulls you right back into it. And I fell in love. I was in and out of love purely because it was just too clear for me now.
You were in an abusive relationship with it.
There was a question on the Empire podcast last week, I think it was, saying which films should they go back and tinker with the CGI to improve? And my first instinct thought was Lord of the Rings, because the story is brilliant. But if you went back in and just touched up Gollum and some of the other scenes, you could even re-release that in cinemas and say, like, extended editions now with
definitive,
updated CGI, and people
edition.
Would go see it. Yeah,
I would.
Yeah, it just needs that.
As long as it did
that little touch up would.
I still think the Hobbit looks worse than Lord of the Rings. I'll tell you that
it
now.
Does.
I'm sure it does.
Because it's
too much
CGI.
There's scenes where I think some of the battle scenes when you've clearly got a group of people there that were filmed
copy
and background
pasted.
And everything. And they just stand out a little bit too much because it's too clear. If I watched it on Blu-ray or something, you probably wouldn't notice it as much.
Well, watch it with your glasses off next time.
But yeah, I enjoyed them watching them back to back over.
I'm moaning about you saying it's gone down to a 9.5. That's nothing really to moan about, is it?
It's not. They are still outstanding movies. I really enjoy it. And you know what? I enjoyed the ending of Returning the King this time. And I didn't feel like, you know, everyone was like, oh, how many endings does this movie need? I actually quite enjoyed it this time. It didn't feel like it was overdone. It kind of tidied everything up quite neatly.
Oh, great films.
But yeah,
I still
great
think they're movies. Flawless. I think they're flawless. Cool.
As movies, they are.
Yeah. Cool. Have we got any feedback?
We do. First up, we have feedback from Gadget. He has provided us with something to talk about. He's not here. He says, greetings, podfellows. Sorry I can't be on this week or next, but I'm currently in a castle to see a gig. I've been to worse places for a concert.
He's not on next
this week.
Either.
No, he's an island.
Fucking joke, that man.
I've got to edit these podcasts. Ugh.
Ugh.
Anyway, he says, I've been doing a few things, continued to have my shit pushed in by the Elden Ring DLC.
Get good.
Gaius can get fucked into the sun, the twat.
Gadget, don't fight him on your horse. I know it makes it look like you should, but don't. There you go.
He says, I started Sulaco this week. It's a retro FPS on Steam with immersive sim aspects to it. The gunplay is great. The weapons are stupidly overpowered in the most fun way possible, and the levels are massive and full of secrets. It's like the developer knew exactly how to make me swoon. The shotgun in particular is akin to a howitzer. Gibbs everywhere. Lastly, we started a show on Amazon called Hacks. It's a comedy drama about a failing comedian whose Vegas residency is at risk and a Gen Z comedy writer who has been blacklisted over a terrible joke she made on Twitter and could only get work writing for the failing comedian. Uh-huh. Female. Mm-hmm. It's quite funny. We're only a few episodes in and the first season, but it's definitely got legs. I'll report back when I finish it. Don't break anything whilst I'm away. Remember to keep Oodles away from the Ming Vases. He can't be trusted.
I'm not allowed near him anymore.
They've gone already. Swiped them already.
Swiped. Wait, I know where the Fabergé eggs are, though.
I'm coming. Next up, we have Mike from our Patreon feedback, and he says, Scorcheap is back, baby. Yes, Scorcheap is back after hiatus. Apologies to everyone who enjoys listening to that, but various things.
It's biggest fault.
Yeah. Whoa. Possibly.
But we are back. We are now back and on track. He says, a perfect timing for me as we had our latest session on Saturday, which involved a chaotic bard with an optimized charisma talking his way into getting what was essentially Indiana Jones hat and whip, then somehow surviving the entire deck of many things three cards at a time while fighting a homebrew boss before even making it into the fort we were supposed to be sneaking into.
We know eight that bards. Feeling, mate. That deck of many things familiar. Saved I my ate, life a few times.
I ate bards.
He also got all four wishes, and after fucking everyone over, he used his final wish to start the entire story again, but kept his level gains and loot. How are we still in the Euros? We are crap, but I'm so glad everyone scored their pennies. Yeah. I hate the post-tournament racial blaming that goes on, yes.
Me too, mate.
Bards must be just something with bards being dicks.
The rest assured, my next character that is fully fleshed out and ready to go in the next campaign is not a bard.
But he'll be a dick.
No, he won't. Ooh.
Next up, we have Planty. He says, hello, friends. Not much to talk about this week other than Commando, which is the current 100 Things episode.
Oh, is it?
Oh, nice. I'll listen to that.
You did Commando without me?
John Matrix.
I'm generally considering moving my pound now.
It's so basically when I told you Commando. I'd kill you last. I lied.
This was the film that I originally told him I wanted to do, I think.
Gadget's got the thingy this time, hasn't he? I saw it on the wheel of torture.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. Gadget will be like, what am I going to pick? I'll pick something obscure.
Watch Seven. Anyway,
he says,
Seven.
If you don't know Commando, it's an old man film for old men.
Like, yeah. It's such a good film.
Fucking love Commando.
It's a
just
spell.
Me and John this week, so back to the usual bollocks of bad impressions and dad jokes. Other than that, I've been watching England ruin football for me once and for all. Hey, we're through.
Why are people moaning?
On Thursday, I was heavily invested in something that we won't make the politics filter on here. I spent all day driving around Redacted, supporting the workers and ensuring the public were able to Redacted.
He must have watched that show.
I, of course, spent the day catching up on Redacted podcasts and live news feeds, radio. Then after all that was over, I was able to go to the Carlisle Civic Centre to work as Redacted on the official Redacted.
Yeah.
At 4 a.m, the results of the Redacted was announced, and both Rachel and I went home to watch the Redacted come on the TV.
To have a cry.
It felt really special that for the first time in 14 years, we didn't have a Redacted, and that the other Redacted, Steaming Redacted, were finally out. Big thanks to Gadget for keeping me company till the Redacted results.
You talking about
anyway, got to go. Rachel's promised me that she'll redact my Redacted. With a massive Redacted.
Ooh.
But only if I watch my Redacted first. Toodles.
But the Redacteds. I don't know. He must have watched that show I've watched.
Really yeah. Good. Yep. Next up, we have Xenos.
I'm sure this will be short sweet.
He says, apologies for the delay as I see you start recording for tonight, but this week literally 10 minutes ago, I've completed Final Fantasy 14 Down Trail. In terms of rating, I give it a solid 8 out of 10. What did I say?
Dawn Trail, sorry.
Unless it's your accent.
No, I'm just fucking, I'm dying here. It's got its flaws, but the story as a whole has been solid, and it's neatly set up where we're likely to be going with the story in the future. Had some absolute insane boss fights too. They started doing some generally mad stuff with the mechanics now. This may be the first time I got after the extreme version of the trial boss fights.
Nice.
Because the new mounts, for those who weren't already mounts, their wings, which players have been asking for since about 2014. Looking forward to playing significantly more of this in the next few months.
It's a good game.
Biggie, stop fucking around with the form when I'm trying to read.
What's he doing? Is he deleting stuff?
No, he's fucking around with his cursor, so it's like highlighting
Biggie
things that I'm not reading.
Because he was reading it that way, so I just thought I'd
don't
just
forget.
Join in.
You already got a yellow card this week in the Discord. I can issue one now and you'll be sent off. I'm telling you, mate.
Listen, I'm trying
Would
to get
be
through
more liberal.
This. I'm tired. My nose is bunged up.
He's nuts, hurt.
Just let me read. Right, final. Angry Kurt. Mm-hmm. Hi, Emmy crew. This week I started Immortals of Avium on the PS5 as part of the Backpage Game Club for the month. And you know what? It's actually pretty good.
Mark, bingo,
I'm finding
cards.
The gameplay a little reminiscent of Doom 2016 and Eternal I'm finding the gameplay a little reminiscent of Doom 2016 and Eternal with certain spell works better against certain enemies and also very kinetic. There's basically no point in using cover, not that there's much cover available. It provides a decent skill tree to work through, and I'm looking forward to playing more. TV-wise, I'm working my way through season one of The Bear, and just have the final episode to go. The penultimate episode was so stressful I couldn't breathe. It's like all of Uncut Gems round into 20 minutes, but it's very entertaining. Cheers, Kurt.
Good way of putting it, good way. I played Immortals of Avium as well. I can't remember the story, but I liked playing it. It was fun. It's like Harry Potter Doom, basically.
Cool.
There's no guns, you just got magic. No, it's more like Doctor Strange Doom.
Okay.
So, doing all the hands. Anyway. Links to all our extracurricular activities are in our show notes and at at modernescapism.co.uk. Please consider becoming a patron to help us, I don't know, drink more, talk shit more.
I need to drink more.
You know, you do want to drink Hair of the Dog, baby. Modern Escapism, men, we recorded X-Men Origins Wolverine this week. That'll be out soon. Don't mention anything if you've listened to it. We don't spoil our reactions. Great episode of that podcast. Great episode. You've got all Kenny Potty, you've got Too Faff, Too Curious. There's still record-breaking ongoing series of all time. It's been going on longer than The Archers, that fucker. I'm telling you, it's ridiculous. It's just got loads of monthly episodes where we're all having a good time. We appreciate your custom and helping us carry on doing this, because we ain't going to do it for free. I tell you what, the second that dries up, we're quitting. Out with Stig. See, he's ready to quit now. We don't have a Candyland this week because she probably couldn't be asked, because she's in Spain or something. So she's let you down. If you want your money back for this short episode, ask Candy. She's got so much money, it don't even matter. And it's free anyway, it's free. But to the patrons, we'll see you in the green room in a second. Warning, we will be talking about politics. Warning, we will be talking about football. Yeah? So if you're not, you can't listen. If you are, you're gonna. See you later. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. I'm going to bed. Fucking shattered. I feel like shit.